Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
And welcome. It is Election 24 coverage from the Berardi Immigration Law Studios, News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer is your host with the most. I'm sitting back, letting him do all the work. No fool here. Carl Calabrese, Republican strategist, is with us. Jack O'Donnell, Democrat strategist, is with us. And we are discussing, obviously, Election 2024. And Jack, let me start off with you. One of the issues with having so many people on and so many different issues being discussed, Jack, is you want to make sure that everybody has a chance to get their views out and their opinion heard and their analyses heard. During the first hour, is there any point that was brought up that you'd like to revisit or maybe something upon which you'd like to comment further that we needed to perhaps shorten because of time constraints? I want to give the football to you and make sure we've got your yardage given.
Well, I always like getting the ball. I mean, I guess I think it's been a fair and fulsome discussion this far. I guess the one of the things, there was some conversation about the Pennsylvania Senate race, and one of the things, you know, a couple of the commentators talked about the Republican candidate and some of his strengths. I can't help but also point out that I think people in Pennsylvania want someone who actually lived there, and there have been some questions about that and how soon he's come. So just need to throw that in.
Okay, well, no, I'm glad you did, because if it's an issue to you, it's an issue to a lot of people, and want to have you obviously have the opportunity to get in your two cents. I want to take things over to Carl Calabrese. And Carl, same thing. When we have so many people on at the same time, it's so easy to get lost in the sauce and maybe an important point you wanted to bring up being overlooked. So go for it.
Well, you asked Julie Fine an interesting question, and you asked it in terms of Texas, but I think it can apply it nationwide. You said, what are voters looking for today in Texas? And I would, again, would take that. What are voters in general, regardless of their state, looking for? And Joe, you and I talked earlier about Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro has said that whatever party acts more normal and nominates more normal candidates will start winning elections well into the future. He also calls it the revolt of the normies. I mentioned this yesterday with Brian and Susan. And I said, you know, there's just an awful lot of people out there, as evidenced by 75% who say the country's on the wrong track, who say, this has got to stop. I don't recognize my country anymore. This is not the country I grew up in. Open borders, no bail, defund the police, men and women sports, critical race theory, critical gender theory. This nonsense has to stop. And I said, if those normies come out in big numbers, Donald Trump will win, and he'll win much bigger than what the polls are saying. But again, I don't know if they're going to come out. A lot of them aren't even registered to vote. A lot of gun owners aren't registered to vote. A lot of evangelical Christians aren't registered to vote. But people want normalcy, I think. That's
well,
what they
let me
want.
Just point out to you that you know, we're a couple of senior citizen white guys. Joe Beamer is a middle-aged white guy. And what might be normal to us, or what might have seemed normal to us in 1977, listening to the Bee Gees and going to Studio 54, you party animal, what seemed normal to us amongst today's college students or elementary school students isn't so normal anymore. When you have the issues that you discussed being talked about at such early ages, when you have so much attention focused on such a minuscule portion of the population as transgenders, and God knows we love transgenders. If you are a consenting adult, 26 or older, I fully believe you should live your full life to the best of your ability. If you're 15 years old, we used to call that genital mutilation when it was done in African countries under Muslims. And we do the same thing now, and it's called progress. So I'm not sure what normal is anymore.
Well, you bring up a good point and a much broader point, and that is the education system. You know, we've always known that the colleges and university faculty were far, far left. What we didn't realize is that the left also took over the teachers' colleges many decades ago and produced a very, very large cadre of primary and secondary school teachers, just as radical. And we did not know that until COVID, when parents could watch on Zoom what their kids were being taught in primary and secondary school. And then it dawned on them, well, I'd never realized my son or daughter's teacher was of this ilk. And that's part of the problem. You've got the education establishment from primary on dominated by the progressive left, putting out, pumping out students, graduating students from college who have been through this entire, I think, indoctrination program, not education program. And then what happens to them? 20, 25 years after graduation, they're heads of corporations, not-for-profits, professional organizations, entertainment, big tech. And we say, gee, why is the American Bar Association and the American Medical Association going so woke? That's why, because the people in charge today graduated from the university system 20, 25 years ago, and the left has accomplished what it said in the 1940s. Marching through the institutions. That was what the progressive left goal was. We must march through the institutions, take over the institutions, change the culture. If you change the culture, the politics will follow. And we may be on that road now of having the culture change so much because of that far left indoctrination at all levels of education. Now those people are running those institutions.
Well, I believe it was the Jesuits who said, give me a child for 7 years and I'll have him for life.
That's correct. That's exactly right.
We are joined now. We've got Tom Bowerly, Carl Calabrese, Jack O'Donnell, and Ralph Lurigo. He's the Erie County Conservative Party chairman. He is joining us now. Ralph, we're about 45 minutes away from polls closing here in New York State. What are your initial thoughts on this election night?
Well, good evening. My thoughts are hope for this country. I believe that Trump will be the winner. I believe that there are a lot of closet Trump voters. I believe there are a lot of people, especially in our area in Western New York, that are conservative-minded individuals, but who don't want to get into the fight. They don't want to fight with their neighbors, so they don't really talk politics. But I believe that those hardworking people that go to work every day realize that their earnings don't do what they used to do 4 years ago. That going to a grocery store, going to a restaurant, going out to get gas is so much more expensive that they need a change, and I believe they will vote that change.
Looking at some of these local elections, when polls close at 9, Ralph, what will you have your eyes on?
So what I want to see, look, it's clear to me how this works over here in Erie County. You have the suburbs, which, in my opinion, will vote conservative. Then you have the city of Buffalo, and you have to see how many votes come out of the city of Buffalo. The question to me all along has been, does Kamala Harris draw votes, substantial votes out of the city? Without that draw, then the Republicans have an excellent chance of having their candidates be successful. And I don't really see much to bring people out in the city of Buffalo, the Democratic stronghold. What I do see is I believe Cheektowaga will be the, you know, Cheektowaga will be for Trump. And that's going to be a very interesting scenario.
Ralph Lurigo, Erie County Conservative Party Chair. We're also joined by Carl Calabrese, Tom Bowerly, Jack O'Donnell. Carl, I've got my eyes glued now to some of the numbers coming in from some of the states that are starting to count the votes. Loudoun County in Virginia, Trump outperformed his margin by 8 compared to 2020. Does that tell you anything? Obviously, Virginia right now is a 10-point state, but does that tell you anything about other states? Can we attribute those numbers to anything else, maybe in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, anything like that?
Well, Loudoun County in Virginia has been like ground zero for the education battle, at the elementary and secondary school level. I mean, there have been some really hot school board races and protests and just a basic parental revolt against education. And so that tells us something. I was really kind of surprised and disappointed that the Republican Party at all levels, and especially even up to the presidential level, did not make education and school choice a major issue. Not only is that a very popular issue with majority voters, it's also a very popular issue with minorities voters. And, you know, I think between the economy, law enforcement, and school choice, Republicans could make great inroads in the minority community. But for some reason, it just didn't even get on the radar screen this year.
Jack O'Donnell, let me ask you about the whole education issue and the articulation of the education issue by the Democrat Party. How do you, as Democrats, try to control the education agenda in terms of politics, not the agenda itself, but the political discussion of education? What is your strategy? Whom are you trying to reach?
Well, I think Democrats broadly do well on education because they're talking about supporting it. They're talking about putting more resources into it. They're talking about letting teachers decide on books and not just having parents pull books out of schools. That said, we've seen school control and parental control as a powerful message, right? The governor of Virginia was elected on it a couple of years ago, and I'm a little surprised that it hasn't played higher in the Republican playbook. But broadly, I think people support Democrats on education because we're for funding it.
Well, you talk about funding, and this has always been of interest to me because every year Buffalo Business First does a survey and a rundown of expenditures versus results of the public and private schools. And a very interesting trend has developed, not over the past year, 5 years, but over the past 20 years. And consistently, the school districts that are funded the most and spend the most per student don't do very well. Those that do very well are not at the top 10 in terms of the funding they receive. So is it really mostly about funding, or are there other variables that come into play?
Well, I think there are huge variables that come into play. I mean, I hear what you're saying about, say, Buffalo City schools getting the most funding, but we also see some districts like Clarence and Williamsville that also get a lot of funding that do much better. I think a lot of it is that we're not starting on the same place. Buffalo has a lot of people who, whether they have disabilities, whether it's English as a second language, it's parents who don't speak the language, one parent, no parent households. It's a very different environment. But of course, money isn't everything. But I think it's one of the reasons voters like Democrats on education. But I'm not trying to suggest it's the end all be all and that's how you fix education. And I do think candidates who are talking about and have a real plan to fix education would do well in this country and in certainly in this community, but we're not hearing that.
Yeah, I mean, I just did a whole bunch of shows, people calling in about their school tax bills, and believe me, they were none too happy about the school tax bills, at least in the district in which I live, the Williamsville Central Schools. I'm not sure how many people died of heart attacks upon opening that green envelope, but it may have been significant.
Well, absolutely, and that's why I do think it's an issue. But that's, you know, the point is your school tax is high because those are districts that are spending, right, and that do often get better results. You know, Buffalo is spending a lot and often not getting those same results. And I do think that's why a lot of people, you know, support different educational opportunities or school choice, but we have not heard or seen a lot of candidates running on that or making that part of their platform, both in these national elections or frankly in the local ones, right? The city of Buffalo, for the first time, has a contested school board election today, on Election Day. I'm a prime voter here in the city. My wife and mother-in-law are prime voters here in the city. We have two school-age children. I don't think I got any mail or phone calls or contacts about that campaign. It's a little disheartening.
Well, I'll be happy to send you the extras I receive every year if you're feeling lonely. Ralph Lurigo and Carl Calabrese, I want to bounce something off of you as well, talking about education at a higher level of education. Our rate of inflation among big sheepskin, even before the great inflation of the past 3.5 years, the college tuition rates were vastly in excess of the rate of inflation and had been for 10, 20 years. If any other industry had so consistently outpriced the rate of inflation, there would be calls for congressional and Senate investigations. Why does no one speak out against what I call big sheepskin and the big lie that is told to thousands, millions of teenagers every year? If you want to get ahead, you need a college education. Sure, get a degree in sociology when they'd be much better off learning a trade.
No question about it. Let's be honest. Teachers' unions really have an awful lot of power within the Democrat Party in terms of volunteers at election time, in terms of money. There's no question about that. It's the same at the university level. But I really believe, Tom, that the next bubble to burst will be the education bubble. It's unsustainable. First of all, the pool of potential college students is getting smaller. A lot of these colleges just are not going to be able to attract enough students, forget what the tuition is, to survive. And you've got people saying, wait a minute, why should I go to a college and get into debt, six figures of debt, to get a degree that I'm going to most likely be underpaid for because it's just not in demand, versus learning a trade, a skill, and not having any debt? There was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of months ago about a young man, got out of high school, went into the HVAC, okay, a business, but not for houses, but for large commercial building skyscrapers. He was an apprentice. As an apprentice, he's making $75,000 a year. The union pays his tuition for the skill. When he graduates, he will go to the next level. Once, I think it's a journeyman, and eventually he'll become a master at it. At that level, he'll be earning within 5-6 years $175,000 a year with no debt. Now, you tell me what that person has done wrong, and I'll tell you, there's just an awful lot of opportunity for young people who may not be interested in college or have the aptitude for college who can do much, much better in terms of income without any of the debt associated with modern education. It is the next bubble to burst.
Oh, I've been preaching this for years, and America could learn a lesson from the German educational system, which does partition students at relatively early ages into those who are intellectually gifted versus those who are mechanically gifted. Ralph Lurigo, if education is the next big bubble to burst, what can Americans do to start to put pressure on these $50,000 a year colleges and universities and hold them accountable for the debt into which young people are falling and the lack of return on investment?
Well, it's clear to me that the tuitions are unconscionable. They are clearly unconscionable, and something needs to be done about it. And the government just hasn't stepped in, hasn't done anything, hasn't taken the lead on this. And it's also true that a bachelor's degree today is not what it was when I went to school, not what it was 20 years ago. I mean, you need something more. So it is correct that you can get into professions today that don't need college education, that do make a good living. So what used to be called the trade schools, we need more direction for young people into those kinds of things. You can't find electricians, plumbers. They just aren't being educated. You need something postgraduate in order to really be successful in this life. So our system needs to be adjusted, and that adjustment needs to come.
Jack O'Donnell, I'd like your two cents worth on the whole trades issue and the issue of college tuitions simply being unconscionable.
Well, I just want to say, if Carl Calabrese is coming out for union labor, I think we are in a realignment, right? But
I must have missed that. Can you refresh my senile brain?
Weren't you talking about the union paying for these folks and the wages that you're
private sector union versus municipal and teachers union? Huge difference, believe me.
Right, okay.
No, huge difference.
Okay, but you know, look, we do a lot of work with the building trades across the state, and you know, absolutely strong supporters of alternate paths and for that work and for that training. But I guess the only part where I would diverge a little is I think that I certainly hear you about private colleges, and it seems like a lot of them are paying the price, right? We've seen some close here in Buffalo. We see others with some major threats. But I think the one place where government has stepped in is that we have here in Buffalo, one of the flagship universities of the State University of New York. And tuition is a lot more reasonable. And it has gotten that, you know, we've gotten that state investment here from, just the latest is the Empire AI, which is going to be headquartered here at the University of Buffalo. So I hear you about all the problems in education and broadly agree with those.
Understood. Jack, I need to break. This might shock you, but I am actually pro-union and am a member of a union. Now, I'm going to let you sit down and just catch your breath after hearing me say those words. Joe, we need to take a break.
We need to take a break, get an update from ABC. We've got some updates for you. The needle is live on the New York Times. Carl Calabrese is moving to the phone. Carl, it was great having you in studio. Look forward to talking with you throughout the night.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it, and we'll continue to.
All right. When we come back, myself, Tom Bowerly, David Bellavia, also Geraldo Rivera, after this on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Oh, we are just getting started. You know, I didn't like that Pink song, I'm Coming Out, So You Better Get the Party Started. I think it's one of the worst of her songs. But,
jeez,
we are just getting the party started.
Can we just play Rehab and be done with it?
It was a bad song. It was not her best song, and people overplayed it at parties is why. Anyway.
I need to apologize very, very quickly, totally off topic.
Yeah.
I referred to a local bass player today whose name is Mike Schill as Mike Shope. Two different guys, two different mics. My bad. I apologize to Mike Schill, a great bass player.
And we are joined now. Our coverage throughout the night, we're going to continue going. We've got guests through midnight, by the way. We will have guests with us. And Geraldo is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, we are joined on the line by Alex Burgos. You heard me talk with him on Hardline. He was a 2024 DNC delegate. And Kat Archibar, she is a Harris supporter. She's on the line now with Alex. And good evening. Happy Election Day.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having us.
Good evening.
Guys, let me ask you just a general question, and this is the lazy journalist in me. How are you feeling with about 25 minutes to go before polls close here in the Empire State?
Well, I am feeling optimistic about New York State, and, you know, as many folks in our circle are saying, it's too early to tell. But our results are rolling in soon, and we'll see what happens.
I concur. I mean, I will insert a viral feeling very nauseously optimistic, but optimistic nonetheless.
Mm. Now, guys, I've asked our Republican guests this, so this is not, I'm not singling you guys out with this question. This gets both sides of the aisle will get this question, and it's very early on, so I'm sorry to even have to have you think of this. But let's say Donald Trump is a reelected president, gets his second term. Where did the campaign go wrong, in your opinion?
Oof. Honestly,
sorry, I know. Like I said,
it's a hypothetical.
That
it's a hypothetical.
You yourself in saying that is probably unfair to say at this juncture. I don't know that I have a good answer to that, because I believe that this campaign has definitely changed the way we move as a party. It has, you know, it is a victory lap for youth engagement in this process. And to your point, it is far too soon. So,
to emphasize and echo what Kat said, you know, this campaign really is a microcosm of the entire country, and you've seen everybody represented under Vice President Harris's campaign. And I'm very proud, not only as one of her delegates, but as somebody who is a true blue Democrat of the campaign that she's run thus far.
Alex and Kat, this is, again, a hypothetical question. But if the Harris campaign falls short, how many fingers are going to be pointed at Joe and Jill Biden for not clearing the decks a little sooner?
I have a tremendous amount of respect for our President Biden, and he's done an incredible job facing dire circumstances during the COVID-19 pandemic to get America back on track. You know, from bringing our economy back to stimulating new jobs, our president was faced with a tremendous amount of challenges and hardship that he helped bring our country back. So I'm very proud not only of his presidency, but the campaign that he's run both in 2020 and the efforts that he's shown to support our vice president this year.
But had he recognized, or had people closer around him recognized at a sooner date, that he was not up to running for the job again, or possibly doing the job again, is your love going to turn to, if not hatred, a little bit of loathing that he didn't read the room better?
Absolutely
and get
not.
Out?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
All right. Hey, Tom, I was actually thinking of that question. Now, Alex and Kat, you know, we have seen, and I know we see this every 4 years, but I feel like we saw it more this year with people going down to Pennsylvania, that ground game that we saw. Hey, we know New York State, pretty much a done deal when it comes to national elections. And people from both sides of the aisle going down to Pennsylvania and getting that ground game. Did you two participate in that? And what did you see going through some of the swing states?
It was, yes, we did. And there was so much momentum and energy behind it. Many of the volunteers coming into PA were geared up and ready to go, ready to knock doors, and also ready to be respectful of the doors they were knocking. And the Pennsylvania residents and citizens, we were very, 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 very cautious and very, 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 very open to any conversations. And, you know, I think that New York really did their thing when it came to traveling out to PA, launching hundreds and hundreds of buses every weekend to just go and door knock and canvass these past few weeks. And it's critical to get out there. And us being in Buffalo, New York, we're very, very close to Erie, PA, which is one of those really important counties for Harris. And, you know, I think Western New York and Buffalo really did their thing in terms of showing up and doing the work and trying to advance her message. And I think that, you know, I can rest assured and be proud that we definitely did connect with a lot of Pennsylvanians when we were out there.
Mm-hmm. Alex, and also,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
In Pennsylvania, you know, many folks from Western New York have gone to Syracuse to help elect Mannion to take the congressional seat over there. And that's another critical race. I mean, if you look at Syracuse as a region, they have incredibly high levels of poverty amongst people of color. And I think that Buffalo in particular, in many ways, trailblazes and leads coalitions towards justice, towards equity. And I think you're seeing Buffalo and Western New York as a really, and as a region really flex its political muscle.
Alex Burgos and Kat Achebar are with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. This question came up earlier when we're talking with a bunch of Republicans along with Jack O'Donnell. Does the Democrat Party have a Jewish voter problem?
That's a curious question. I mean, I don't foresee one. I feel as though our party is very open, and we are welcoming of all. And I don't know that we have one.
Well, the reason I asked that is I was speaking with some Jewish Americans from New York City, and I think Carl Calabrese had the same experience. And these are people who are just like you and just like me. They're Jewish, and they're very concerned about the safety of their children going to certain universities in the New York metropolitan area, and they believe that anti-Semitism is on the upswing. Do you not believe that?
I think, you know, there is an uptick, you know, in hate and bias that has occurred around the country. But I think that our vice president running for president signals unity across all different groups in this country as she anticipates to be a president for all. I think the same thing applies for our great governor, Kathy Hochul, who founded the Hate and Bias Prevention Unit after 514 with many regional councils, of which I am a council member, to address that. And I'm very proud of the work that DHR, the state agencies, and our party have done in carving out spaces for everybody. And, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect party, but I think what makes us such a great party to be part of is that, you know, as Democrats, we carve out spaces for people to address their needs. We give people spaces for people to coalesce and coalition build. We have factions for folks, you know, to make sure that their groups, identities, and needs are well represented within the party and government. So I'm very proud not only to be a Democrat, but to be part of a party that represents and really puts the D in diversity.
Hey, Alex Burgos, Kat Achebar, thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully as the numbers come in, maybe we can talk with you two again. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks very much. And thank you, by the way, for the work you're doing on the 514 situation. That's a situation that nobody needs or wants to see happen again. And anything you can do to stop people like that from doing such evil would be appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for recognizing that work.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It is 8:44 here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's election night 2024. I was about to say 2014, Tom. 2024, Joe Beamer, Tom Bowerly with you.
I'm the senile one.
And we are joined now by Geraldo Rivera. He is, you've known him. He's been on the TV my entire lifetime and then some. And he is here to talk about the election. And Geraldo, good evening.
Hello to you, Joe.
It feels like we have been getting ready for this election since the end of the last election, but yet here we are, Election Day 2024. Geraldo, where do you think this election stands as the final votes are being casted?
Well, if you know, Joe, please let me know, because I have no idea. I think that it all comes down to how various mini issues or maxi issues impact people, how they're feeling. I think that last week it would have been Trump's to lose, but I think that in the last week he may have lost it with a kind of a grumpy attitude, threatening to shoot Liz Cheney and the fake media, you know, airing his grievances in a very menacing way. I think that he may have given it. He may have given it to the vice president. But who knows? I don't know, and I've never seen anything this tight before, Joe.
Well, I want to ask you about, you know, where does this compare to other elections? But you know, the Liz Cheney comment, if you watch the full, you know, the full clip, the campaign says that what is being reported was taken out of context. How do you respond to that?
Well, let's say it was. Let me concede that. I concede that he didn't mean that Liz Cheney should be shot. Still, is this the kind of debate? It's like when the comedian called Puerto Ricans floating islands of garbage. You could argue that Trump wasn't the comedian. It came out of his mouth, the comedian's mouth. Trump shouldn't be tarnished with that same broad brush. On the other hand, Trump picked the shock jock insult comic, roast comic to do his farewell, message at Madison Square Garden, a historic arena. You know, I just think he's used very bad judgment, very short fuse. But listen, I know the guy for decades. I supported him his first two cycles. If it wasn't for the fact that he tried to, intervene and wreck our representative democracy in a peaceful succession of office, I would maybe still be supporting him. But he went beyond the pale, and some of the language he's used, particularly, Joe, when it comes to immigrants, has been really, I think, beyond the pale. Just unnecessary, really insulting and demeaning and just not presidential.
And that was Geraldo Rivera. You want to hear that interview in its entirety, Tom? You can find that on the Odyssey app or at WBEN.com, giving his perspective not only on Trump, but on this election compared to the many that he has covered in his career.
And I know I'm only on number 11. Joe Beamer, Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, Election 2024 from the Berardi Immigration Law Studios. And I say that it's time we go to a man who's been just eager to be on, because this is his jam. Politics is his bag. And I don't think I need to say anything else. But Joe, join me in welcoming the king of the text to me at 9 a.m. every day, David Bellavia. David.
Hey, listen, I'm so fired up. I'm shot out of a cannon. We've got a ton going on right now. And this to me is a barometer for how this entire night is unfolding. Now, first of all, let's acknowledge one thing right off the bat. The worst the Republicans can do right now is have the vice president decide everything in the Senate. The Republicans cannot lose the Senate as of right now. There's one race. West Virginia has just flipped. That was the old Joe Manchin seat. That is now a Republican seat. All eyes are on Wyoming and John Tester. He's down 11 points. He's expected to lose. That means the worst the Republicans can do right now, with that Wyoming seat expected to turn red, is get 51 in the Senate. That's important, because no matter who wins the White House, they have to deal with a Republican Senate, and the new speaker is going to be Rick Scott, who just won his race in Florida. I want to start by taking the audience to Florida. There are three counties that have been deep, deep blue since 2008. You got Palm Beach County, sits on top of Broward, and Miami-Dade. That's where Miami, the city of Miami, is in. Donald Trump has done something that has not been done since George W. Bush, and he's about to take Palm County too. Now, Ron DeSantis broke this blue wall in Florida, but for Donald Trump to take the city of Miami by 120,000 votes, that's a huge window, because what do you have in Miami? A large black population and a large Puerto Rican population. Puerto Ricans seem to have a sense of humor. they voted for Donald Trump by 120,000 votes, and he's about to take Palm County as well. So that's the two huge, you know, this hasn't happened before. Now let's look at the black vote. This is what is so telling about the numbers we have out of Georgia. Now, Fulton County, that's where Atlanta is, that's going to get as high as about 90%. They always hold 10% back because, you know, Atlanta has water pipe problems. And so they're going to hold back 10, so they're only going to get to 90. DeKalb County is just about done. They're about a quarter of the way, they're 75% of the way done. But the African-American vote in Georgia is what everyone needs to look at for the rest of this night. Because it's not just one in four black men are voting for Trump. That alone is a news story. 25% of black men are going for Donald Trump. In some areas of Georgia, that number is over 32% in Georgia. Here's the key. It's the 12% lack of turnout. That, to me, is what is going to carry this race in North Carolina and in Pennsylvania. Because it's not just that you have one in four black men going for Trump. You have 12% less people in that demographic that are voting as opposed to 2020. So what that means is you didn't just throw the interception on the opponent's five-yard line. They ran it back for a touchdown. That's a 14-point swing. Your 7 points are now not on the board, and the opponent just ran it back for 7. Trump has been able to take 25% of black men, and the turnout for the black population is 12% lower than 2020. If you go to Virginia right now and go to Loudoun County, that was the place that had all those school board issues a couple years back. Loudoun County went with Joe Biden, 56,000 vote differential in 2020. That number right now is 35,000 for Harris. And if you go right below that into Prince William County, Biden takes that by 61,000. That number right now is 40,000. That is truly unbelievable that they have to get those votes from Richmond. They have to get those votes from Roanoke and the Norfolk area. And they're just not coming out like they did in 2020.
Any theories, David, on the turnout issues?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It could be a lot of things. It could be we haven't seen those 2020 people since 2020. That's, you know, that's kind of, we might want to put a lookout for those folks. But as far as explaining it now, I don't know what it means. I just know that when you go to Mecklenburg and Charlotte, where the city of Charlotte is in Mecklenburg County, these numbers that Donald Trump is pulling in Mecklenburg are something we have not seen in North Carolina by Republican candidates. This is, I mean, it's trending right now to be George W. Bush type of numbers in those areas that really haven't, they've been purple and they've been toss up. I mean, he won Florida by 3.5 points and this 2024, he might take it by 15. And in Florida, they killed the abortion amendment and the marijuana amendment. So it just shows you what direction Florida's going.
It is, David, you know, we talked about this earlier with Carl Calabrese and Jack O'Donnell. It is so interesting to see. I mean, I haven't been doing, you know, election coverage that much, but I remember covering Florida as a toss-up state. It's amazing how quickly Florida has become not only a dependable red state, but if Ron DeSantis wants it, most likely he's going to get it. It's interesting to see how in that one state it has gone from a toss-up to a red state. And you know, you really don't see that anywhere else.
Well, it's filled with half a Buffalo that Cuomo kicked out. Yeah. I mean, that's the truth.
That was because of the weather, you know.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, every place is surrounded by, you know, blue state, you know, asylum seekers that have gone to Florida so that they can, you know, do their thing. Michigan, it obviously closed. They're about 10% of the way through. Keep your eye on Oakland County and keep your eye on, of course, Wayne County. Those are the two big cities. And if you look at about 40% of Oakland County is in, and Donald Trump is only down 40,000 votes. And, you know, what sections of the town is that? How does that look? Just compare at 50% of the vote, 70% of the vote in 2020. This was insurmountable. This was 120,000, 250,000. This is a much closer race than it was in 2020. But again, the popular vote might be close and it might be a nail biter, but the Electoral College could very easily swing one way or the other. But if Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania drop, in that order, it's going to be a long night for Kamala Harris.
David, 8 years ago, we were doing this very same coverage on News Radio 930 WBEN, and I've seen you work on elections, and I've seen you with physical maps and written all over them with arrows up, arrows down, percentage points, etc. So as you look at the map, which is no doubt in front of you and already covered with your scrawl, you'll probably turn it into a best-selling book if I know you, but... What else are you seeing geographically trending that is of vital import to regarding this presidential election?
I think there's some congressional races that you can look at and almost draw a contrast of what goes on in the state. In North Carolina, North Carolina 1 is an incumbent. It's held by a Democrat, and the incumbent is an African-American in a large African-American area. If you look at the turnout of blacks in that district... And if he is trending below what NC1 was trending, he's still going to win the seat. But how much does he win by, and what are his numbers compared to 2020? That right there is going to tell you why you're seeing the numbers in Mecklenburg that people are seeing out of Charlotte and what that means. So the suburbs are showing to be more reliable for Harris, which is suburban white women, college-educated suburbs. The suburban white people are more reliable for Harris than the inner city as of North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, and Virginia, and early Pennsylvania showing us.
Absolutely fascinating numbers. Beyond the comprehension of mere mortals, did the Harris campaign do anything differently in those areas than it did, let's say, in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, she widely ignored them because North Carolina was not very popular. Understand, you know, this Biden is one of the most unpopular presidents in the modern era. Until Kamala Harris is the candidate, she's really the most unpopular vice president in the history of polling. And when you think back to how unpopular they are in North Carolina, of all the states that got hit by the flooding and Hurricane Helene, Western North Carolina, I mean, they're really unpopular out there. And so the reason why North Carolina seems super stressful to Harris is all of the population numbers are coming in and no one's touched all those red areas. If you look at Georgia, you've got Fulton County about 80-90% in. DeKalb is about 75%. Once you go down to Savannah and head over to Columbus, you haven't touched North Georgia yet. North Georgia is at maybe 65%. So once you start getting the northern sections of Georgia, they're coming out in larger numbers than in 2020. That is going to make a difference in Georgia very soon.
It is election night coverage here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer, Tom Bowerly, David Bellavia here with you. We've got guests lined up. Jim Ryan will be joining us at 9:15 to give the look at where he is from. We have Steve Roberts in the 10 o'clock hour giving his analysis, and obviously the analysis from the three of us here on News Radio 930 WBEN. When we come back, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, polls close. We'll see some early numbers from those states and break it down with you. But first, we've got to get an update from our newsroom and an update from ABC as they give you a status, and then we'll be back here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.